And now the game where we ask interesting people about things that they're just not interested in. We call it Not My Job. John Mellencamp, like a lot of successful musicians, purports to represent the heartland. Unlike most of them, he doesn't just write about what he sees from the windows of his private jet. He actually lives there in his home state of Indiana. He joins us now. John Mellencamp, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, that's true. You were born and raised in Indiana, and you live there now.
Yeah, you know, I just, I've been all over the place, but I just never really could fit in any place else. And, you know, this Midwestern thing kind of sticks with you. And, you know, I would go to, when I first went to New York, they would go, "You talk funny." And I'd go, "No, you do." So, you know, I just never really, I don't know. I always feel more comfortable. It's always a place to go to. And I've lived there my whole life.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, go ahead, Paul.
What happened to the cougar? Why did you drop that?
Well, I just thought, you know, I was a young guy from Indiana, and I was in New York, and I was like 21 years old, and I made a record, and I never did like that. Some record company guy, you know, put that on my record.
Let me just clarify. What we're talking about is the fact is that you started your career as a recording artist under the name John Cougar.
Yeah.
Some recording executive gave you that?
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he think? I mean, did he think, oh, it's really sexy, it's wild?
Here's what he said to me. I walked in and I said, "What is this on this album cover?" And he said, "Well, listen, nobody is gonna, you know, Mellencamp is too hard to spell and it's too long, it's too German, and you know, so we think this is the way to go." And I said, "I don't think so." He goes, "Well, you can go back to Indiana and forget about it if you want."
Ooh.
Are you telling me that the first time you found out about it was when you saw the album cover?
That's what I'm telling you.
Oh my God!
Wow. So I take
talking about too German.
So I take it you didn't end up with this tattooed any place on you.
No,
I didn't.
That's lucky.
Mellencamp is too German? You think he read Mein Kampf and got confused? Why is Mellencamp too German? That's about, well, it's like an all-American name, isn't it?
That's what I thought, but hey, yeah. he didn't seem to think so.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned you've been doing this for a long time, 32 years. You huge hits in the early 80s, and you just your latest record is just coming out now. Is it difficult? I've always wondered about this. Rock and roll is such a supposedly a young person's game. 22-year-old stars playing for 16-year-old audiences. Is it hard to adjust as you get older as a person? Do you feel the need to sort of continue to speaking to that audience, or just like, the heck with it, I'm going to write about my nitroglycerin pills because that's my life?
Well, you know, I think the problem is that, you know, people stereotype music just the way that you just did, and I don't think that that's really been
no,
the case.
That's fine.
I don't think that's really been the case for a long time, but that's the, you know, when rock and roll first started and music, rock music first became popular, I think that probably was pretty much true. But, you know, 50 years has gone by since then, and there are a lot of guys that, you know, do what I do and have done for a long time, and the answer to the question is no, I've never geared my songwriting or my image to anything but what I would look like. I would look darn silly, wouldn't I, up there trying to write songs to 18-year-old people.
I Lord knows I couldn't do it.
Well, I don't know why you would want to. I already did that.
Yeah, I know. I guess the only reason to do it is like, you know, I went to rock concerts when I was 18, and I've been to rock concerts now that I'm no longer 18. And we were all a lot more attractive when we were 18, you know. So if you have to have people jumping up in front of you while you perform, you know, you could express your preference that way.
Well, you know, and I understand that thinking, but you know, I'm not quite that shallow.
Touche, sir. Touche.
But you know, I'm not saying that there aren't times that that thought might pass through my head, but I don't know that I would voice it on the radio.
Okay, fair enough. Now you've rolled out the single from your new record in an I guess not such an unusual way anymore, but it's a part of an ad campaign for Chevy. We want to thank you for getting Bob Seger Like a Rock off the TV. Thank
Oy.
You. It's been a few years. We were ready to be done with that. That was a departure for you. You at 20 years ago were against that. You were.
Oh, I still don't think people should have to sell their songs to in commercials, but. You know, the mold as we talk, as we have grown up with it and known the music business, no longer exist, record companies. You know, in 5 years, there won't even be a disc to sell. Mm. My reason to go with Chevrolet, they heard this song, and they wanted to use it. And as I was driving to the studio making the record, a guy that my age had just put out a new record, I never heard his song on the radio. And I kind of thought, well, if I want people to hear this song, I might want to go an alternative route. And that was really the basis of my thinking of it. And I still don't think we should have to. Wouldn't it be lovely if there was a level playing field and people could do their music and get it out, you know, to the people in a legitimate, fair way? But that you know, the rules have changed. You know?
Sure, no. And you know, whatever else you might want to say about it, it's been successful because your record Freedom's Road debuted in the top five on Billboard's album chart. So,
yay!
So you know. It's working, whatever else you can say about it. Well, John Mellencamp, we are delighted to talk to you, and we have invited you here, in fact, to play a game that we're calling...
Rex Grossman, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
As you might know, being a resident of Indiana, the Super Bowl is coming up.
Yes.
And that means that it is time, and has been this week, Super Bowl Media Week. 5 days of increasingly ridiculous and desperate questions asked by reporters to men who were not selected for their current roles by virtue of their verbal acuity. Sports Illustrated Online presented us with a feature about the 20 dumbest questions ever asked during Super Bowl Media Week. We're going to ask you in turn about three of them. Get two of our questions right, and you will win Carl's Voice, our prize, for one of our listeners. Carl, who is John Mellencamp playing for?
He is playing for Melinda Bauman of Charlottesville, Virginia.
Ready to play?
Sure.
Right. We assume, by the way, and you know, just best between friends, that you're going to be rooting for the Colts.
Well, I think it's only fair to tell you that Rex Grossman is from the same town I'm from.
Really?
Whoa.
He's from Bloomington, Indiana. His dad is an eye doctor in town, has a big eye center. I know his dad for 25 years. Last time I saw Rex in person, he was still in a diaper. So I know, you know, I've known this kid for a long time.
That was, I think, during the Giants game earlier this season.
I understand.
He looked a little nervous. I didn't know he'd gone that far. So you must be torn then if you know the guy's family on the Bears, a quarterback for the Bears.
Well, let's not forget that, you know, up until the early 80s, the Bears was, Indiana's team.
Right, of course.
You know, because we all, you know, in 85, we were all for the Bears. But, you know, the Colts now and Jimmy Irsay has been a wonderful made wonderful improvements with the team, and quite honestly, you know, I'm just happy that two Midwestern teams are playing.
Woo!
Bless your kind heart. Well, anyway, here we go. Now, first question for you. Now, there are only so many questions you can ask about the game, so reporters very quickly move on to the hypotheticals. Here's a question that was asked to Detron Smith, who was a Denver Broncos fullback before Super Bowl 32 back in 1998. Was it A, if you couldn't play football and weren't any smarter than you are now, what do you think you'd be doing? Was it B, what size panties do you think you'd wear? Or C, if you were a soldier in World War II, which side do you think you'd be on?
That's not real, right?
One of them is. An actual reporter asked an actual football player one of those questions.
C.
C, you're going to go for C. If you were a soldier in World War II, which side do you think you'd be on?
C.
No, it was the panties.
No,
what size panties
that.
Do you think you'd wear? I tried. I could not figure out why in the world anybody would ask that. But all right, you still have two more chances, John. Here we go. As we know, the reporters love those human interest stories, but sometimes they go a little far to get them. At Super Bowl 15 back in 1981, a reporter put his mic up to the face of Raiders quarterback Jim Plunkett and asked, what? A, is it your mother who's blind and your father who's deaf, or the other way around? B, is there anybody in your family or among your friends who we might care about more than we care about you? Or C, do you think that you'd be a better player if, say, somebody shot your brother?
B.
B, you're going to go for B. Is there anybody in your family or among your friends who we might care about more than we care about you?
Yeah.
No, it was A. Is it your mother who's blind or your father who's deaf or the other way around? It turns out, actually, both Plunkett's parents were blind. In fact, he came from quite a difficult background. But all right, last question. See if you get this one. Once in a while, it's not the stupid question that we remember, it's the snappy answer. In 2000, Tennessee Titans defensive tackle Joe Salavea was asked, quote, "What's your relationship with the football?" What's your relationship with the football? What was his answer? A, being on defense, I've never actually touched one, but I hear they're kind of nubbly. Was it B, I'd say it's strictly platonic? Or C, man, did you just highlight the utter pointlessness of this exercise or what?
Well, I would have to go with C.
You're going to go with C again. Man, did you just highlight the utter pointlessness of this exercise or what? That's your choice?
Yeah.
Now, the answer was B, I'd say it's strictly platonic.
You know, I don't think I'm very good at this game.
No.
Give me one more.
Give me one more. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to read the other ones. I only had three prepared, but I don't
know.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
All right, you ask me a question. Go ahead.
All right. Who built the aqueduct system in Los Angeles?
Who built the aqueduct system in Los Angeles?
Yes.
You mean other than William Mulholland?
Okay, that's right.
All right.
Well, the reason I asked, because I was just in California, and I asked a whole bunch of native Californians that question. None of them knew.
Oh, I'm
Have they never seen
because
Chinatown?
They didn't see Chinatown, yeah,
exactly. Carl, how did John Mellencamp do in our quiz?
John was right. He's not very good at the game. no correct answers, so no prize for Melinda Bauman.
Well, you know, no, that's not true, because I'm going to get Melinda's number and put my own damn message on it.
There you go. Yay. There you go.
All right.
Yes. All right.
That's my country.
There you go. John Mellencamp has had dozens of hits in his nearly 30 years of recording. His latest album, Freedom's Road, recently debuted in the top 5 on Billboard's album chart. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun.
It was fun to have you. Bye-bye.